Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we are looking at Soli Deo Gloria. And we've been looking at the five solas of the Reformation here for the last 5 weeks. Today is the epitome. It's the apex. It's the top of everything we've been looking at. Soli, alone. Deo, God. And we have Gloria, glory. To God be the glory. You know, in a few minutes, we're going to sing the doxology. Do you realize what doxology means? You know, I'm a big one about words. Doxo in Greek is glory. What's ology? Study of. So it's the study of glory. And if you notice at the end of the psalm today, I put the nunc dimittis. Now, I say that word, and you're all looking at me with funny words. But it comes right out of the liturgy. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever will, shall be. World without end. Amen. There is so much that we have in our church that deals with glory. And it's important. It's important. Well, today, we are celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And then we've been looking at the Reformation for the past 4 weeks. But today, we're not really going to look at a lot of history. Because today, the focus is on the cross. Now, if you've been taking my class after service, we talked about the cross. The cross is the single most important event in the history of mankind. Everything before leans forward to it. Everything afterwards, after it, leans back to it. Why? Because that's where our sins were paid for, on the cross, by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is where we receive righteousness, and this is where we were made holy in His name. You know, when we look at this study of glory and the importance of glory, I was led to that 1 Corinthians 10:31, and that's what we had a reading today. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks, and I think your translation said Gentiles, or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Remember, I've told you about what the cross represents for us as Christians. Because when we look at the cross, everything that comes from the upward part of the cross is what we receive coming from God from heaven. It comes down to us through the cross. And then what happens on the two sides? It goes out from us onto others. That's why that cross is so important. When's the last time that you talked to somebody about your faith? Yeah, I know it's law because it's about what you do. Yesterday. Okay. But you see what I mean? If Jesus is important to you, are you excited about Jesus? Okay, we're going to talk about that a little bit more here later. Psalm 106. Oh, I love this psalm. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help me when you save them, that I may look upon the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, and that I may glory with your inheritance. And in the Isaiah 6, and another called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. If you grew up in the church, this is all in the liturgy. Whether you're Roman Catholic in background, or Lutheran in background, or Presbyterian in background. That liturgy is the Bible, and it's about the glory of God. And I love this last part of this. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. puts the coal for us? Jesus. And you know, didn't Pentecost come with the fire of the Holy Spirit? So when that hot coal touches that, isn't that the Holy Spirit coming to us, healing us, sharing with us the glory of God? One of the biggest commands, now some of you have been here, but there's a form in Greek called the imperative form. And the imperative form, I love it when my glass is like this, because when I was a kid, my mom said, "You will do this." Okay. You know, when the glasses came down on the eyes, okay, I'll behave, I'll be good. But that's what the imperative form is, okay? And Jesus, in Galatians 5, tells us something that Paul relates. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that's in the imperative form. And you know, that's hard for us, because as human beings, we don't just go out of our way to love our neighbor, do we? But you remember, when we are part of Jesus Christ, we are a servant of Jesus Christ. And what does the servant also mean in Greek? Slave. We're a slave of Jesus Christ. And so when he tells us to do something, do we do it or do we ignore it? Think about that for a second. Are they the Ten Commandments or the ten really strong suggestions? See what I'm getting at? Okay. When Jesus tells us something, it's important. I think here's where we get to the center of the Reformation. Jesus paid for that eternal life on the cross. And that coal, that fire of him, comes to us and touches us. Those arrows come from God. That's what the cross means. Yeah, I know I'm talking about it again, but it's important enough. I want you to get this today. But what comes to us is the grace of God. And you remember I talked to you that very first one on the grace and how we receive grace? Grace is not something that you put your hand out. Okay? Grace is Jesus standing beside you with his arm around your shoulder. It's always there. He loves you. Well, yeah, how can he love all of us? He's God. You know, and part of the thing is one of the readings, I cannot by my own reason or strength understand my Lord Jesus Christ or come to him. We're human, and that's okay. But we have to accept through faith. And where do we see that faith? In the Word of God. And that's the thing about the solas, is they all work together to bring us to the salvation of Jesus Christ. Isn't that why we're here this morning? Isn't that why all of you are here celebrating today? You know, a couple of you have said funny things to me today and then come up and apologize. Oh, I didn't mean to be. You know, as I told Jean earlier, the shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. Shouldn't it be Jesus laughed? If you, you know, every time we see Jesus portrayed in something, it's always this serious person. I don't know, as I told Lisa when I visited her, you know, you gain more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. You can't tell me Jesus didn't laugh. Jesus loved these people. And if you love people, you laugh. When you get into the other part of Galatians, what does it mean to live in the Spirit? Happiness, joy, gleefulness. Does laughter have anything to do with that? You bet. You bet. Get excited about Jesus. Let me share something with you. I've mentioned his name here, but Pastor James Coley is the pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Cotton Tree, Liberia. Very black. Has a really interesting accent. But Pastor Coley and I ended up sitting next to each other at a class at the seminary. And he's finishing up his doctorate in ministry. But as we became friends, I found out that his church, now imagine this. He has a church of about 300. Every time they hit the 300 mark, he breaks off 100 and starts a new church. Now he's been there 10 years. This has happened four times. We'll do the math. That's about 1,000 people. Have come to Jesus Christ. Now, this is an area that's heavily Muslim and heavily pagan. but yet people are flocking to Jesus Christ. And I asked him, I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm not doing anything. My people are getting excited about Jesus and talking to their neighbors. Folks, they're not talking theology. They're talking about Jesus. They're talking about their relationship with Jesus Christ, their love for him, and in return, his love for us. That's what it is, isn't it? Is the love of Christ in your lives? Is it flowing through you? Or do you put a stop to it? Well, yeah, but. Anytime you feel that but, is that Jesus talking to you or is that the other end? That was pretty quick. That was pretty good, too. No, I'm not going to repeat it for those of you who didn't hear.
She's so witty.
No, as I said earlier, she's cheeky. Yeah. But folks, the thing is, if you get the feeling you should share your faith, what is that? That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. Do you listen? Yeah, hopefully. And the thing is, if you share it with somebody, folks, I do this all the time. I talk to people all the time. In 10 years, you know how many times I've been rejected? Once. Because usually when you say something to somebody, they're appreciative of the fact that you cared enough to say something. But we put our human frailties in the way. When we have already received that salvation, and our excitement should make it flow out. When Pastor Coley visited our church in Texas, now he's Missouri Synod, folks, but yet he preached in our church. And he did a workshop. When they built a church, they were given 400 rubber trees. And they baked and they got 2 chainsaws. And so when they build a church, they cut all the wood for the church themselves. They make mud bricks and they fire them themselves. So when they build a church, they build a church. It's not going through a contractor. And so when the people are done, they have their sweat, their life, their blood, and what they've given. Are we willing to come to Jesus in the same way? Isn't that what the glory of God is? To celebrate that? To get excited about Jesus Christ? I think so. And I think that's what the Reformation gave back to us. I have some more Bible readings. How central is the glory of God to us? And this is in 1 Corinthians 10 and Isaiah 43. It's in both Testaments. The glory of God is the goal of all things. The glory of God is the goal of all things. The great mission of the church in the Old Testament is to declare God's glory among the nations. That was our reading today. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. Our ultimate hope is to see God's glory, eternal life. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And God will present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. How many of you have seen all these in the Bible? But you know what happens, we usually read them, and we read the words. But what did our reading tell us today? Do we read it with our hearts? We look, we do not see. We listen, we do not hear. Because we're not using our heart to see and hear. That's why that reading's in there today. It's so important. And finally, in Romans, I love this. To those whom he justified, he also glorified. And for those of you who don't know just what the word justified means, it means the forgiveness of sins. So those of you he's forgiven, he has made glorious in his sight. Did you realize that you're also glorious to God in his sight? We know he's glorious to us, but we share in his glory, don't we? But here's the thing. Get to know the glory of God. Study the glory of God. The glory of Christ. Now listen to this one. Study your soul. How do we study our soul? Here's that Lutheran question. So what does this mean? Well, the first commandment tells us to have no other gods before us. Yes? All right, so I don't know of anybody anymore that's praying to Baal. Okay? Because that's a god, right? Is football a god? Depends how you view it. Is alcohol a god? Depends how you view it. If that becomes more important than your relationship with Jesus Christ, it has replaced Jesus as your God. You know, I had friends that the only goal in life is to make money. Has that become a God to them? Yes. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Is politics a religion to you? Okay, we won't go there. Know the glories that you are seduced by and why you may treasure glories that are not God's glories. 1 Samuel, back in the Old Testament. Study your own soul to know how to make the glories of the world collapse like Dagon. Dagon was one of the gods that the Israelites were fighting. In pitiful pieces on the floor of the world's temples. Stand up for your faith. Scripture tells us to hunger to see and share more of the glory of Christ, the very image of God. All right, so be hungry. Be hungry for God. Be hungry for the Word of God. Be hungry for the grace of God. And finally, let everything you have been given through your faith from our Lord lead you to glorify God in everything you do in your life. Everything has got to do with God's glory. And we, as God's servants, serve Him that way. Remember when you were little kids? I know for some of you that was last year, right? Christmas Day. Oh, I can't wait for Christmas. Oh, boy. I get presents. And we've got I'm going to turn into religion too. But we all participated in Christmas shows at the church, right? When you were a little kid. Yeah, that anticipation. Christmas Eve is here. When I found, and I didn't catch on with it, but when I was a kid, on Christmas Eve, we'd always get ready to go out to church. I'd get in the car. Oh, I forgot something. That's when my folks went up and put the presents out. So when we got home from church, Santa had come. But part of the thing is it's that joy and anticipation of being with Jesus that day, isn't it? Have we lost that as we become adults? I think so. Isn't it sad, though? But folks, you know the first hymn you all learned? Join me in song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. He are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. There's your solace, right there. In the German Bible, when Christ gives up His Spirit on the cross, we translate it as "it is finished." In the German Bible, it is "Es ist genug." It is enough. Isn't Jesus' love me enough? I think so. Let us pray. Let this joy that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds on the cross of Jesus. Amen. Amen.